we have to shift gears again because we were seeing many talks about beneficial microorganisms for enhancing plant growth, and I will present data from where we use chemicals to enhance plant growth. In the past more than 40 years, methylbromide has been used as a soil fumigant to control weeds, volunteer crops, and a range of soil-borne pathogens and nematodes in the production of various crops, fruits, trees, and also ornamentals. However, it was identified as an ozone-depleting compound, and this graph actually shows how the bromine reacts in the atmosphere with the ozone, destroys the ozone. And that's why the industrial countries that signed the Montreal Protocol in 1991 agreed to phase out methylbromide completely by 2005. And there's a couple countries in Europe that are not using methylbromide anymore, and I believe also Australia stopped using it. But within the US, we have a couple commodities that are filing every year for critical use exemptions based on the, they justify those needs that they could not identify viable alternatives. This table shows the total methylbromide use over the past couple years in ornamentals in California, and we see about a 50% reduction of the use, but this use reduction is mainly due to reduce in the acreage that has been treated. The rates are pretty stable, and also since 2004 to the 2008, for the past 4 years, the nominations are pretty stable at about 150,000 pounds total need. What are the constraints for the growers to adopt alternative systems? Well, most of those alternatives have complete different physical and chemical properties, and the major property that affects fumigant movement and their efficacy in soil is the vapor pressure, and methylbromide has extremely high vapor pressure, so it's a gas under normal air temperature, while all the other fumigants have to be delivered to the soil with liquid, so with water. So we suggested the adoption of the TRIP system to apply those fumigants, and that involves cost. Also, those other chemicals require longer plant peg times because the degradation on half-life of those chemicals is longer than methylbromide, and some of those, especially in California, the ground is extremely expensive, and we can, have many crop cycles per year, so the grower is really interested in not leaving the soil bare for too long. Also, there's really varying results on the pest control efficacy of those alternatives. And we have to face regulatory constraints for some of those alternatives that are registered. Like for chloropicrin, we have wide buffer zones to areas where people live. And we have township caps for 1,3-D, which is another registered alternative. What are the key diseases we are facing in ornamentals? We have a range of soil-borne pathogens. We have Erinia soft rot and Pythium root rot. We also have Fusarium, to deal with Fusarium species, Dermatinia species. And this picture shows a color crop that is healthy at the time where we would start harvesting the flower stem versus a color crop that is severe affected by Pythium root rot. Those crops have an 18-month cycle, so we really need to provide good pest control for germination, but also over the entire 18-month growing season, and that's a challenge for some of the chemicals. They work maybe up to 4 months, But then the crop goes in dormancy over the winter months, and then after it comes back in spring. And then we see large areas in the field, patchy areas which turn yellow, and then the end is a result like this. We have a complete crop loss. We cannot even not harvest the stem. Also later on, this crop is harvested for the bulb, and you will not find any bulbs. They are just rotted completely. And then also methabromide chloropicrin as a mixture was used for weed control for a variety of weeds, and in the critical use nominations they claim it can control yellow nutsedge, little mallow, clover. I have my doubts because I have done research with those with methabromide and alternative for the past 5 years, and I don't think methabromide can control those weeds, at least not in the rates that that they are using officially in the fields. And then it also controls a range of soil nematodes. So this shows the weed problem we may face in some of those fields. That's a color crop, and it's fumigated. And this is a non-fumigated area, and it's just grown over with yellow nutsedge, which is a really nasty weed that can spread from a very small area in no time and just cover the entire crop. And that means we have really high cost for weeding. They have to go through, send through a weeding crew and small hand weeding. And with the labor issues in California, that will, you know, be more and more a challenge. So I will just present one experiment we did out of a range of experiments. We tested different fumigants, we tested different soil sealing techniques, what you can see here. All those applications are done under plastic mulch, so to keep the fumigants in the soil for a long time or longer time to increase the efficacy and the concentration. And also we have done similar trials with all those chemicals, but in drip injection systems. But I will present those data only from the Schenck trial. And we have that the treatments are methabromide, which is the industrial standard. We have a new product, iodomethane, the trade name is called Midas, that was just recently registered in all of the states of the US except for California. And then we have chloropicrin, which is a registered compound, Tilone C35. It's also a mixture of 1,3-dichloropropane and chloropicrin. And we have an untreated check. We evaluated the survival of wheat seeds and volunteer bulbs, which we buried in little sachet bags prior to the fumigation. And then we left them in the soil for about 3 weeks and retrieved them and then checked for viability of those seeds on flower bulbs. And throughout the season, we evaluated the number of native weeds, and we also detected the weeding times to, you know, get a grip on economical viability of those alternatives. And then we also buried plant pathogens, fungal and oomycetes pathogens and nematodes in sachet bags, buried them in the soil and did the same like with the weeds. And then in spring, after the plant comes back from dormancy, we determine the presence of pathogenic fungi as well as general fungi in the soil. And what the grower are mainly interested is the yield, you know, what comes out at the end. So we evaluate stand density. That's the first indicator of how a treatment works. We look into diseased crops, plants over the season. We count the flowers prior to the harvest. And then after 18 months, the bulbs are lifted and we determine bulb yield and the quality. So this figure or table shows the control of wheat seeds by those alternatives. These are the treatments. Control untreated is that, and chloropicrin, methylbromide standard, Midas and Tilone repeated here, those rates. And we have two different plastic marshes, which this is the standard plastic And this is a high barrier marsh, so it keeps the fumigant really longer in the soil and increases therefore the concentration. And we see a very nice control of all those weed seeds except for little mallow or Malva parviflora. None of the fumigants, not even methabromide, was able to provide an adequate control of that weed. And the same we see with clover species. However, the clover was not a dominant or major weed at that location. That's why we did not include it in this test. Then we included bulbs, flower bulbs. These are, it's crucial to control the bulb of the previous crop because it affects the crop priority, and also the bulb that is receding in the soil is a risk, or is a potential host for pathogens for the next crop. That's why we need to really control or kill actually all those bulbs. And we see very good control of those bulbs of volunteer crops by all the chemicals, and the first column is the control where we almost control nothing. So this is shows a picture of how we bury those inocula prior to the fumigation, those little sachet bags. Then it's during the fumigation, you see the top on top, it stays in the soil, as I said, for 2 to 3 weeks, depending on the treatment, so we wait until it's really safe. Then the plastic gets topped, the soil is vented, and we retrieve our bags. And this shows the first result, the control of Fusarium oxysporum. This is our industry standard methabromide pick under standard top. And we see the control is not that great. So people were, believing methabromide is the silver bullet, but those tests really show the alternative provide a much better control of Fusarium oxysporum. If we add a high barrier top to the whole system, we improve the efficacy of that fumigant to control this pathogen. Pythium control was almost complete in all of the fumigants. There was no difference between the methabromide industrial standard and the alternatives. But the psyllium, which is a really important pathogen for strawberries and other berry fruits, only 2 proportions per gram soil can kill the entire crop. It's not that critical for color lilies. But we also see the standard, the industrial standard, does not provide a good control. We have more than 20 microsclerotia per gram of soil. All the other alternatives perform much better. So then, after 10 weeks, after seeding the crop, we do standard evaluation as the first indicator of how the crop will develop. This is our methabromide industrial standard. And all the alternatives at that point, except for the TILO and C35, perform not as well. But this picture will significantly change after the winter period, when you remember the first picture I showed. And we will see complete, a shift that the methabromide treatment will lay behind the other alternative treatments. So yield data, the crop is harvested for the flower stems. These are the flower numbers and methabromide Cheng standard, and that reflects then also the stem density is the orange line, and all the alternatives perform as well or better, have more flower counts than the methabromide industrial standard. And flower stems make up about 25% of the company's income. And right now, our fields are harvested for the bulbs. So it's lifted and then sorted into according to circumference of the bulb. And those bulbs vary from $1 each to $5. So, this is really enormous what they can harvest and the value from those acres. And in conclusion, we found that Midas at 300 pounds and TILO and C35 at 400 pounds were equally effective than the methabromide standard to provide weed pathogen control and volunteer control. And those both treatments are currently the best available treatments to provide complete pest control for those crops and also to produce a high value crop and high yields. However, as I said, MIDAS is not registered in for California right now. It's still waiting, but it's available for all other states. We also saw a trend that the high barrier film can improve fumigant efficacy. However, we believe that we will see more significant improve of the efficacy when we use reduced fumigant rates. We, for those Schenck applied fumigants, we go in with fairly high rates. So the addition of the of a high barrier mulch may not be as, you know, as beneficial, but with the reduced fumigant rates, we can, you know, we believe that we will see better benefits or more benefits, and that's what we wanted to do in the future. We also wanted to look into non-fumigant and non-chemical practices because, you know, the restrictions for California become more and more stringent, and development, human developments coming very close, and there's an interaction between agricultural production areas and where we live, so it becomes more and more urgent that we look into non-chemicals alternatives to be able to keep in, you know, those growers operating there. I want to acknowledge you know, several people that worked and people that gave money, companies that helped with that project. Thank you.